بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading from the kitab concerning aqaid and our beliefs. The topic which we are doing is concerning major sins. Quite a few we have been mentioned that these are all what are regarded to be major sins, and we should be very careful with concerning this. And if we by any chance commit any of these, then the way out is that we should make sincere tawbah. We have read about 75 examples already. We continue. Number 76, to practice witchcraft and cast spells. To regard something as bad luck. To regard the words of fortune tellers to be true. To display impatience at the time of worry and calamity. To scream and cry. That is at the time of calamities and problems. To host functions at a funeral. To tear one's clothes or to make dua for misfortune, etc. To scream and cry or to hit someone, to hit oneself when someone passes away. To revive the sorrow or mourning on certain fixed dates. To have hairstyles contrary to the Sharia, for example, a square cut. To use black dye, or to tattoo the body, or to pluck out white hairs. To listen to music and musical instruments. To abstain from giving advice, despite having the ability to do so. To make one's favor known. To assist in works of sin. To displease Allah Ta'ala in order to please people. To abstain from commanding good and forbidding from evil, especially when one is in authority. To sit in a gathering of sinners whilst they are engaged in that sin. And to commit a minor sin repeatedly. That will itself be regarded to be a major sin if a minor sin is done over and over again. Further, those sins related especially to men, the list of them is being given here, to wear silk, to wear rings of gold, to wear garments below the ankles, to shave the beard or trim it less than a fist length, to lengthen the moustache, to wear clothing dyed in saffron. And those sins related especially to women, to travel without a mahram or husband, to disobey her husband, to demand divorce without any valid reason, to emerge from the home unveiled, to cut and trim one's hair. This will be for females. The next topic which we are doing is the prescriptions to leave this world with iman. Every person has the concern that whether at the time of death, whether iman will remain intact or not. So some prescriptions prescribed by the ulama, whereby inshallah, by doing these things, inshallah a person will leave this world with iman. Since iman is the most valuable thing, and our passport to everlasting success, a person should continuously make effort on iman. If a person becomes lax by leaving out the compulsory commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indulging in sin, the lustre of a person's iman diminishes. What should we do? We should do the following. Recite these du'as daily. The first du'a, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. O our sustainer, do not deflect our hearts after you have guided us, and grant us from your side special mercy. The mercy is that we remain steadfast on the straight path. The next dua, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith. Translation, O truly living being, O being due to whose blessings every atom in the universe is dependent, I seek help through your mercy. Number 3, utilizing the miswak. Ulama have written that amongst the many benefits of using the miswak is that a person will be blessed with reciting the kalima of shahada at the time of death. There are still a few more. Inshallah, we will do them tomorrow. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 29th para was recited, which comprises of many surahs, and practically all of them, besides one or two, the rest of them are all Makki surahs. And as mentioned over and over again, that the main subject matter in all those surahs which were revealed prior to the Hijrat, which are called the Makki surahs, the fundamentals of deen are mainly emphasized, which constitute the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Risalat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the final Nabi, and also the Aqaid of life after death, resurrection. So the first surah, Suratul Mulk, also being a Makki surah, these fundamentals, particularly the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Aqeedah of life after death, have been mentioned in extensive detail in the surah. Thus surah, Suratul Mulk, which we normally call Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, many virtues have been mentioned concerning the surah in the ahadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in a hadith that it is my heart's desire that every mu'min in his heart should be the surah. In other words, he should memorize the surah. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that there is a surah in the Qur'an-i-Majid which comprises of 30 verses referring to Suratul Mulk, that it will intercede on behalf of the reciter. This surah also is called Al-Mani'ah and Al-Munjiyah. Al-Mani'ah, which stops, and Al-Munjiyah, which gives salvation. That the person who is constant in the recitation of the surah, inshallah, he will be stopped, inshallah, he will be saved from the punishment of the qabr, punishment of the grave, and the punishment of the grave will not afflict him. It has been the ma'mool and the practice of all the akabir that at night they used to read the surah, Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi, daily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah mentioning his great grandeur and the great qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that exalted is that being in whose hands lies all sovereignty and kingdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everything. Allah ta'ala has created death and life. So death and life is not just a natural phenomena through the passage of time. It is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created death and life. Allah ta'ala gives life to whomsoever and whensoever He pleases, and Allah Ta'ala withdraws this life, which we call death, at any time, to whom and whatever Allah Ta'ala wishes. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that all this whole system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of giving life and death, it is so that we test you, that who amongst you does the best of actions. Here also, many a time it has been emphasized that the main thing is not the quantity of actions, which is now what we have, what is matlub, what we have to do. The main thing is the quality which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see of our actions. Allah ta'ala did not say that we test you so that to see who does the most of actions. Allah ta'ala says to test you to see who does the best of actions. The scale of deeds in which the actions will be weighed, that weighing also indicates that it is not the quantity, but it is the quality, and the quality will lend more weight to the scales on the day of Qiyamah. Therefore, we should always be concerned that what we do, the actions which we have to do, in the prescribed quantity which Shariat has prescribed that we have to do. But we should also be concerned whether we are doing it in the proper way or not. Further on, Allah Ta'ala invites men that ponder over my great creations. Allah Ta'ala says Allah Ta'ala has created the skies in 7 layers. Allah Ta'ala then invites that look at the sky, look properly, and not once, look over and over again, to see whether you can see any deficiency in the skies, whether you will see any cracks, how Allah Ta'ala has created the skies without any supporting pillars. And Allah Ta'ala says you can see and over see, but your gaze will return back unsuccessful in detecting any type of deficiency and shortcoming. And your eyesight will become exhausted, but you will never find any type of deficiency. This itself is the indication of the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then mentions many of His other great creations in the form of the beauty of the sky in the, by means of the stars, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning the earth. We have made it, put the earth to your service, and you tread the earth, you walk the pathways of this earth, and you eat from the sustenance of the earth. Then Allah Ta'ala speaks of the birds. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the birds which are flying in the sky, and they are opening their wings and they closing their wings. How they remain suspended in the air. Who does this? مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who keeps them suspended in the earth. Like that, ponder in all these great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will realize the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In between, Allah ta'ala then also mentions that don't become fearless to this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can at any time cause the earth to swallow you up, cause you to sink into the earth. Do you have become fearless from this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can rain down stones from the skies upon you? Allah ta'ala can, and further on Allah ta'ala says that who is there anybody to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from providing sustenance to his creations if Allah ta'ala wishes to withdraw that sustenance? All this, reflect upon it and you will realize the great qudrat of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala also mentions that we have created you and we have made for you ears and eyes and hearts, all of them to use in that direction where you can see and hear and understand and reflect on the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then accept the message of haqq. But Allah ta'ala says, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Very little do you show gratitude to. In between, Allah ta'ala then mentions the conditions of those people who will be thrown into the Jahannam, those who disbelieve and refuse to accept the message of haqq. Allah ta'ala described their miserable and very pitiable condition. What will be their condition when they will be thrown into Jahannam? Jahannam will be a raging fire. Allah ta'ala describes it, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْرِ. That it is likely that it burst through its fury. This is how Jahannam will be. And every time a group of people will be sent into Jahannam, the doorkeeper will ask them that, why have you all landed up here? Didn't a warner come to you? But then they will admit that yes, a warner did come to us in the form of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, but we rejected them. And we rejected that message of Allah Ta'ala in the form of revelation which used to come to them. They will admit that they will admit their sins, فَعَتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ, and they will then say that if only we had heard and understood as we were supposed to do, then we would not have been from the inmates of Jahannam. But that type of regret at that time will be to no avail to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the day of Qiyamah, that when they will see that what has been promised to them, then you will see the condition, the miserable condition which will be on that day. Allah ta'ala describes that. The next surah is Suratul Qalam. Suratul Qalam, also a Makki surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the qasam of the pen. This also indicates the great status of the pen. These verses are all revealed in the early stages of Islam, and the people of Arabia at that time generally were unaware of reading and writing. They were unlettered, and the taking the qasam of the pen was indicative that this pen has great position and great honor. It is mentioned in the hadith that amongst the first creations which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered to be created was the pen, through which Allah ta'ala then ordered it to write the taqdeer of all people right till the end of time. So Allah ta'ala takes the qasam of the pen, وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ, and qasam of that which the angels transcribe and which they have been told to transcribe and write the taqdeer of. And then Allah ta'ala declares, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the grace of your Rabb, you are not insane, as these people are now branding you to be, just to now try to disgrace you. But through the fadl of Allah ta'ala, you are not insane. And for you, there is such a reward which will be not ending. All actions which each individual does, each mu'min does, the reward is going to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who, being the Nabi, taught us all what we are doing, and that's why we are doing it, and all that reward will accrue to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah ta'ala declares, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin adheem, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are firmly positioned on the pedestal of the most exalted of character. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character was the actual teachings of the Qur'an Majeed. Aisha radiallahu anha was once asked about the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She replied, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an Majeed. He was a living and practical example of all the teachings and contained in the Qur'an Majeed. Concerning character, many a time we overlook the importance of having good character, whereas in the hadith it comes that nothing is more weighty, will be more weighty on the scales than having good character. And many other hadith concerning the virtues of good character, and for us there is that example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His entire life was of a noble and exalted character. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the arch enemy of Islam at that time, and whose name was Walid ibn Mughira, and how he used to try and harm Islam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will afflict him with the greatest forms of punishment. Allah ta'ala mentions all his evil qualities, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't bother about him. Don't go out of your way to try and accommodate him, because he is one who excessively takes oaths, false oaths. He is despicable. He is a fault finder. He is a carrier of tales. He is one who excessively and insistently stops people from good. He is the one who transgressed the limits. He is a sinner, and he is most harsh and hard-hearted. And besides all that, he is also illegitimate. But all his pride and arrogance came. Why? An kana dha mali wa bani. Because he had been blessed with the worldly things in the form of wealth and abundant children. And when concerning the Qur'an Majeed, when it is recited to him, and he says it is asatirul awwaleen, all because it is tales of the previous people, Allah Ta'ala says we will catch him and we will brand him on his snout nose. We will brand him, in other words, we will take him to task, and we will afflict him with great forms of punishment. Allah Ta'ala then says that these people of Makkah who are refusing to accept the message of Haqq, Allah Ta'ala says we are testing them, that with all these bounties which we have blessed them with, yet they are showing so much of ingratitude and not refusing to accept the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala says we have tested them as we had tested the people of the gardens. Ashabul Jannah, referring to a very famous incident which was also a parable amongst all the Arabs of that time also, that in a place near Yemen there was a person who Allah Ta'ala had blessed with splendid gardens and orchards, and he was a very good person, righteous and upright person, and very generous also. But once he passed away, and the garden was inherited by his children, his sons, but they turned out to be the opposite. And they then, on the pretext of having so many expenses in the upkeep of the orchard and other things, then the main thing is that they refused to now give what was due also to the others, the poor people, the underprivileged, who normally used to come around those orchards at the time of the plucking of the fruit and the harvesting of the fruit. And they thought that, no, we don't want to give anyone of them of their share. We don't know our father why he was giving so much to them. So they decided and schemed among themselves that we will now leave our homes very early in the morning, in the late portion of the night, and we will harvest the fruit before actual daybreak, and without the people realizing that we are harvesting the fruit. Therefore, no beggars and poor people will come around, and we don't have to give anybody. But Allah Ta'ala's punishment came overnight, and before they could go and even reach their gardens, by nightfall, the whole garden was completely destroyed. And when they reached there, they even thought they lost the way. And they thought, no, this is not our garden. But when they seen around properly, they realized, no, it is our garden. And then the punishment of Allah Ta'ala had come. with the result that everything has been destroyed. And at that time, as is normally the case, the brothers then, they started pinpointing the blame onto one another, and eventually they had to concede that inna kunna taghin. We are the ones who are the real transgressors. We had did wrong, for which reason we had been afflicted with these types of punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, this is how we send our punishment in this world, but wala adabul akhirati akbar. The punishment of the hereafter is much more severe and much more greater. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions the condition of the muttaqeen, how great bounties Allah Ta'ala and conditions of bliss Allah Ta'ala has kept for them in the year after. All that has been mentioned in great detail here. Condition of the day of Qiyamah and the severity of the day of Qiyamah is also indicated too, that those who are the disbelievers, the transgressors, the sinful ones, khashi'atan absaruhum, their gazes will be cast down. They will be in a state of embarrassment, and tarhaquhum dillah, all types of humiliation and disgrace will be enveloping them from all sides. Allah Ta'ala says, these were such people when they were called in the dunya to prostrate and bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be obedient to them, despite them being salimun, completely normal, but yet they refused to bow and submit to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the result that this will be their condition on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala then mentions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that exercise patience. These people who are taunting you, calling you names, mocking and jeering at you, you exercise patience. As was mentioned previously, before the Hijrah, although Muslims were suffering severe forms of persecution, but the order was not to retaliate in any way, just to exercise patience. The order and law of jihad was only introduced after the hijrah, after the Muslims had migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. The surah finishes off with the ayat that Allah Ta'ala says that these people who are the deniers of the truth, when you make them hear the reminder, that is the Quran and Majid, they are filled with so much hatred towards you that the way they look at you, it is as if now they will now, just by looking at you, cause you to slip. And as we say in English, if looks could kill. In other words, how they used to look at you, and they say that you are majnoon, but you just carry on, you make sabr, and what you are now transmitting to them, it is just a reminder for the people of the universe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah, Suratul Haqqah. The day of Qiyamah, according to its many conditions and attributes and qualities, has been given various names in the Quran and Majid. One of them is Al-Haqqah. It's in the same way, Al-Waqi'ah, Al-Qari'ah. These are all names of the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Haqqah. Al-Haqqah will be translated as the event of which is inevitable, which will definitely occur, from the word haq. Haq means something which is a reality, which is inevitable, which will definitely occur. Allah Ta'ala, just to instill in within us, that do you know what is this day of Qiyamah? If we really know what the day of Qiyamah is and the conditions of that, that will be sufficient for our rectification and for our now leaving all our forms of transgression. Allah Ta'ala says, do you know what is al-haqqah, the inevitable event? Allah Ta'ala mentions that in various ways. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the condition of the previous nations who denied that there is life after death. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed them. And then the various conditions of the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala explains that on the blowing of the first trumpet, Allah Ta'ala will uplift the earth and the mountains from their places. فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّتَ وَاحِدَةً. And they will be lifted and smashed with one another, and will be smashed to smithereens. Allah Ta'ala then mentions many other conditions of the day of Qiyamah, and when hisab and reckoning will take place, those who are successful, they will get their book of records in their right hands. How happy they will be, and they will be eager to show it to one another. As in the dunya, that person who passes with good results, he is eager to show everybody's results. In the same way, that person now on the day of Qiyamah, whose books will be given in the left hand, it will be a sign that he will be unsuccessful, and he will then wish that if only the decree of death had overcome him even there, and he was not even existing anymore, and he will admit that my wealth and my riches and my sultaniyah, my kingdom and kingship did not come to avail in the least. But Allah Ta'ala will tell the angels, khuduhu, catch him, put the yoke round his neck and drag him into the midst of Jahannam and fasten him up with all the chains and subject him to all the punishments of the day of Qiyam, of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us from all that. The last ruku of that surah, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that these people, they call you a poet, they call you a fortune teller, whereas this is not a collection of poetry, nor is it the words of a fortune teller, this Qur'an Majeed. It is Tanzeelum min Rabbil Alameen. It is revelation from Rabbul Alameen. Allah Ta'ala then says that if on the assumption that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam attributes anything to us falsely, Allah Ta'ala says we will have caught him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with our right hand. And in other words, we will have caught him and laqata'na minhu al-watin, we would have severed his jugular vein. In other words, if on the assumption that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam falsely attributes anything to us, we would not have spared even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But nothing like that has occurred. But it follows that definitely this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala will not tolerate in any way that something wrong is attributed to him. The next surah, Suratul Ma'arij, here also the descriptions of the day of Qiyamah are also given in extensive detail, that the day of Qiyamah, its duration will be 50,000 years. Some other ayats show that it will be 1,000 years. The ulama explained, this refers to, in other words, will be a very long period of time. But according to the condition of a person, for some it will be like 50,000 years, and for others it will be like 1,000 years. Here also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is consoled that fasbir sabran jameela. These people are now causing you great difficulty, but you make sabr on whatever they are doing. And definitely they will be afflicted with our punishment. If not here, then definitely in the year after. Allah Ta'ala then makes mention that those who are the muttaqeen and those who are the upright and pious, what are their great conditions and great qualities and attributes? Most of them have already been mentioned in the beginning of the 18th para, that they are punctual on their salat, they are charitable, then they protect their private parts, and they discharge the trust and pledges which they have upon themselves, and they give testimony, upright testimony, and they are very particular with their salat in every aspect. Allah Ta'ala give the great tidings. Ulaika fi jannati mukramun. They will be in Jannat in great honor and in great bounties. Further on the next surah, Surah Nuh, the name itself indicates the incident of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned here. He had been given a much greater lifespan compared to all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Tirelessly, uninterrupted way for over 950 years, that he continued preaching the message of Haqq with kindness, with love, and with great effort. And very few people accepted Islam on his hands. He preached from generation to generation. It doesn't mean the people of that time also lived so long. No, they didn't have that lengthy lifespans, but he carried on preaching to them. But when it was informed to him that no more people are going to now get hidayat and accept Islam, that's the time he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the destruction of his nation, and eventually they were destroyed with the floods. The next surah, Suratul Jinn, here the incident of the jinnat is mentioned. Prior to the advent of the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the jinnat, they had access to the skies where they used to eavesdrop on the conversation of the angels with regard to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the advent of the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were then stopped, their going was stopped to the skies. And they also became worried what has happened. They also made up groups and jamaats and to see around the world what's the new event which has caused a change in the administration of the skies. And a group of the jinnat happened to pass by where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with some of his sahaba was performing Fajr Salat in Makkatul Mukarramah, in one of the areas of Makkatul Mukarramah. They heard the Qur'an Majeed being recited, and immediately they realized that this has happened. Now the last Nabi has come, and this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are overtaken and their hearts are filled with they start trembling, and they realize this is the haqq. They go back to their people, the jinnat, and they inform them of what had transpired, and this was the reason that the whole administration of the skies had also changed. All that incident is mentioned here. The next surah, and the next two surah, Suratul Muzammil and Suratul Muddathir, they were also, in terms of revelation, they also were revealed, these two surahs were revealed in the very initial stages of Islam. Even when the five times salat was as yet not made obligatory upon the ummah, Allah Ta'ala, in an affectionate way, addresses Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil and Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, by meaning both these words are very similar, O one who is wrapped in a cloth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after being granted nubuwwat, was overtaken with great worry and concern of the great responsibility which had been placed on his shoulders, with the result that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was constantly wrapping himself in a shawl, in a blanket or a sheet, and with the result Allah Ta'ala says, O one who is wrapped in that shawl, Qumil layla, stand up in prayer at night. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ordered to perform the salat of what we call salatul tahajjud. And Allah Ta'ala initially gave the order that stand up in prayer at night, patal for a little while. Stand up for about half the night, or little less than that, or little more than that. And read the Quran steadily in the tahajjud salat, slowly. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then used to do this, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But as there were no watchers in those times, that's why, for fear that now we don't do less than what we had been commanded, for most of the night they used to be standing in prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill this command of Allah Ta'ala. With the result, their feet used to swell up also, because of standing for so long in salat. Then the next ruku of the surah was then revealed about a year after that, where Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala knows very well that you try and stand for 2/3 of the night, or half the night, or whatever time, but Allah knows that you can never precisely determine for how long you are standing, with the result that you stand for much longer than what actually is supposed to be. And so Allah Ta'ala says, now you don't have to exert yourself so much. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, whatever is easy for you, whatever you can manage, without putting yourself into great difficulty. Do that, because Allah knows that some of you are sick, some of you are on journey, and some of you have other responsibilities. But the result, it is difficult. Again, Allah Ta'ala says, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ. So the obligation of standing for so long was no more there. Prior to the five salat being made first, this salat was made, salatul tahajjud was made obligatory. But after the five salat was obligation was revealed, the obligation of tahajjud had been cancelled, and now tahajjud salat is no more farz. However, it is very still meritorious to perform the tahajjud salat, and as explained by the mashayikh, that even if we can't get up, it's difficult in the latter portion of the night, whatever we can read, 2 or 4 rakats after Isha salat with the niyat of tahajjud, and inshallah we will also be included amongst those who perform tahajjud and get the great rewards for tahajjud, although it will be more meritorious to get up in the later portion of the night. In between, Allah Ta'ala mentions that Allah Ta'ala knows that getting up at night is not easy on the nafs. It is very difficult on the nafs. But getting up at that time is aqwa muqila, that the words which come out from the mouth are much more correct, because a person is free from the responsibilities of the day and from all types of disturbances. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know that during the day you have great responsibilities. You have to now propagate the message of Haq, interact with people, and see to their ta'aleem and tazkiyah and everything. But when you now stand up in prayer in front of Allah Ta'ala, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا, and free yourself from all other things when standing in worship to Allah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take His name and remain devoted completely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah, Suratul Muddathir, also the order now to propagate the message of Haq has been mentioned here, and the scenes of the day of Qiyamah and concerning Jannat and Jahannam have also been mentioned in the surah. The next surah after that is Suratul Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala takes the qasam of the day of Qiyamah and also qasam of Nafsul Lawwamah. Nafs is of three types. One is Nafsul Ammara, that which is the normal condition of nafs, which insistently incites towards evil. But if a person works on that nafs And then doesn't follow the whims and fancies of his nafs at all times, but puts his nafs under his control. Then it will come into the category of nafsul lawama, which is a reproaching nafs. Now when you do evil, your own nafs will tell you, what's wrong with you? You are a mu'min, you are a mu'lana, you are this, and yet you are doing this, or you are not doing what you are supposed to do. So this will be a reproaching nafs, which is a very good quality. We should try and now bring our nafs to that level. And the highest level of nafs, the third type, is nafsul mutma'inna, which is now the stage of the nafs of those of the selected servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam and the sulaha, where their nature becomes such that they only now incline towards good and they don't incline whatsoever towards evil. Allah Ta'ala then mentions here also concerning the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says that those who doubt that we can now resurrect the dead after they die, they must remember, بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَا, that we are even able to perfect their fingertips. In other words, we will bring back to life each one to the extent that even the delicate portions of their fingertips, with all their fingerprints, which we call, which no two persons of all men match with one another. That's what for identification purposes also. Today, more than anything else, fingerprints are used to identify a person. Well, who is this person? Allah Ta'ala says we will even perfect that portion of the person's body. Don't doubt our qudrat in resurrecting bringing back to life anybody. Further on in that same surah, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when wahi used to come, for fear that he must not forget what has been now revealed to him. With Jibreel alayhi salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to quickly recite, with which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to exert himself greatly and put himself under great pressure. Allah Ta'ala says there's no need to do that. It is our responsibility to gather that Qur'an-i-Majeed in your heart and make you recite it. In other words, you don't have to worry, you won't forget. We will make sure that whatever is revealed to you, we will retain it. Therefore, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, when it is recited to you follow the recitation, and upon us, it is our responsibility to make bayan of this Qur'an-i-Majeed. Also indication that the words of the Qur'an-i-Majeed, Allah Ta'ala will preserve it in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be granted the ability to explain the contents of the Qur'an-i-Majeed to the Ummah, which we call the Hadith. The next surah, Surah Ad-Dahr, being a Madani surah, this is the only Madani surah in this whole para, but in content, it is just like the Makki surahs, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His great qudrat, that man, they were the origins of man, was hardly anything, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created man, and the conditions of the people of the Haqq, and also of those who now did not respond to the message of Haqq, what Allah Ta'ala has kept for them. And the last surah, Suratul Mursalat, also same subject matter, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the conditions of the day of Qiyamah are also explained. Don't doubt that the day of Qiyamah will occur. إِنَّمَا تُعَدُونَ لَوَاقِي, which you are being promised will definitely occur. And what will happen? فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ تُمِسَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُسِفَتْ, all these great creations, stars, the skies, the mountains, all these things, how they will be completely shattered. Allah Ta'ala at different intervals mentions, وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe be on that day for those who denied. Those who denied, there will be great destruction for them on the day of Qiyamah. And the surah then ends on the condition of the muttaqeen. What great bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept for the muttaqeen. Allah Ta'ala grant us all this.
Qala Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa dhkur isma rabbika wa tabattal ilayhi tabtila, rabbul mashriqi wal maghribi la ilaha illa hu. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala farmate hai, aur apne rab ka naam lete rahe, aur sabse ta'alluqat munqati karke usi ki taraf mutawajjih rahe. Munqati karne ka matlab ye hai ki Allah ke ta'alluq ke muqabla mein sab maghloob ho, jo mashriq aur maghrib ke rab hai, nahi hai koi ma'bood magar Allah. Almighty Allah says in the Noble Quran, repeat the name of your Lord and turn to Him with complete devotion. Lord of the East and West, there is no deity but Him. Almighty Allah says in the noble Quran, repeat the name of your Lord and turn to Him with complete devotion. Lord of the East and West, there is no deity but Him. Qazi Sanaullah Panipati Rahmatullah Alayhi writes regarding the above verse in his tafsir, Tafsir al-Mazhari, the phrase "Wadhkur isma Rabbik," which means "and remember the name of your Rabb," indicates that the name of Allah should be constantly repeated. In the verse "Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi la ilaha illa hu," there is indication of what the ulama refer to as an-nafyu wal ithbat, that is negating every being besides Allah and confirming the oneness of Allah as a deity, and confirming the oneness of only Allah as a deity. By mentioning وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ, which means "and remember the name of your Rabb," instead of وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ, which means "and remember your Rabb." So in the ayat is mentioned, remember the name of your Rabb. There is an indication that just as how Allah should be constantly remembered, in a similar manner, the name of Allah should be constantly repeated.